I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kemi Sharia.
And I'm Monica Ainley. And you're listening to Fashion No Filter,
where we sit down with some of the lead creatives, strategic thinkers, and emerging talent around us to interpret the ins and outs of the fashion industry today.
Hello, Fashion No Filterites. Here we are in Paris. It's 30 degrees, and we're ready to give you our latest glorious guest.
Although we are boiling hot, we are super excited to introduce our guest on today's show. She is the creative and buying director of the new Galeries Lafayette flagship store that opened its doors earlier this year, number 52 Avenue des Champs-Élysées, a street, of course, that needs no introduction, I'm sure. Clara Cornet, who is 30 years old, has been tasked with turning these 9,000 square meters of shopping space into a unique and open-minded destination for customers in search of inspiration and retail therapy. She promises a 360-degree retail experience at a time when online shopping is more popular than ever.
Ah, yes. And the store does offer a curated selection of meticulously chosen labels picked by Clara herself along with her team. A gourmet cafe imagined in collaboration with fashion darling Simon Jacquemus, inspired by the ingredients of his native south of France. The main Instagram attraction of the site being his lemon smash tart, which we highly recommend, and a very modern approach to visual merchandising. We stole Clara off the shop floor and took her for a lemonade at Citron to pick her brain on what it takes to launch an innovative concept store in the digital era. Well, hello, Clara Cornet. Do you pronounce it Cornet or Cornet in English?
Hello, Monica. Clara Cornet. French and English.
In French and English.
Yes.
You don't want me to anglicize your name?
No.
Not like an ice cream cornet.
Not like an ice cream.
Quite sexy.
Mm-hmm. Quite sexy. Okay, can you introduce yourself and describe where we are?
So we're currently in the Galeries Lafayette Champs-Élysées, and I'm very excited to be with you guys. I'm Clara, and I'm the creative director of the store. We are standing in the Café Citron, and enjoying our latte and lemony pastries.
Yum.
Yum, right?
Just the had most, some marzipan.
The most Instagrammable dessert of the moment.
I think we would say it's the most Instagrammable restaurant of the moment, full stop.
True.
And it's also delicious, and it has a lovely South of France vibe.
Thank you. We called it the terrasse.
Très chic. Thank you. So let's take a step back. How did this all come about? How did you become the grande dame of this beautiful establishment? And what would you say were the key factors in getting you here?
Well, the key factors were for me to move back to Paris. That was the first factor.
Because you were living in New York.
Exactly. I was living in New York at the time. I actually started my career at the Galeries Lafayette. So I was lucky enough to get a call back. After living in New York over 5 years, I first started actually as a women's buyer at the Haussmann flagship that many of you must know. And it was such an exciting time, and we were picking up so many emerging designers, and I was working on women's designer and luxury. And then I got a call from Opening Ceremony, who approached me to work as the head of women's buying for the store, which at the time there was New York and L.A., and then London had a pop-up, and we worked with the Ace Hotel. We had so many fun projects. After spending time at OC, and I went to work for the Webster. So for me, it was super exciting to also expand in the world of Miami and Texas and again LA. And we had 5 doors by the time that I left, and New York opened. And after that, I had the most interesting phone call from the Gary Lafayette, who actually offered me to move back to Paris for a very secret project, which I hadn't heard about. And it was actually the former GMM of Haussmann Luxury who was heading the project. And she called me and she said, listen, it's going to be something completely different. And I was like, how different? Because I'm pretty different.
So yeah, different in what way?
Different in what way? How different do you want it to be? And they seemed so excited about building a new retail model, really something focused on relationships and customer focused. And so I was very intrigued, especially for the location, because I'm Parisian. And when they told me about the Champs-Élysées location, I was like, that's a stretch. I'm listening. And as I was traveling to Paris, I actually got the chance to visit this space, even before signing off to agreeing to become the taking over the role that I had the chance to take over.
And which I saw at the time space. It was the Virgin Megastore.
So it's the old Virgin Megastore. So at the time it was nothing. It was a blank canvas.
It really was.
It was just construction hats and ugly boots and just us looking at an empty building.
Huge building.
Yeah. Yeah. Smaller than any department store I've seen, but bigger than any boutique. So it was a very challenging and interesting moment.
That was
an old way to shop had died.
Yeah.
A way to shop where you would like lay off product on the walls and like literally block the light from coming in because there were so many products shoved against the windows. So what the new store was about bringing back lights inside the building and having product breathe and being much more customer centered and rebuilding a new kind of relationship that you can have in retail. And it was all over, everywhere. Everyone was saying how retail was dead, but it was all about boring retail that was actually dying. Mm. So it was a very interesting moment. And Parisians still had the Virgin Megastore in their hearts. So I was like, you know what? There can still be a flamme.
Interesting.
A fire.
And the space was such a moment of culture that when I took the role, I wanted the space to become a place where you could live and meet and encounter and read a book and have a coffee. So this is where we are, hence the citron.
I just want to say something else about that time, and actually I can't quite figure out the timeline. Had Colette closed yet?
No. It hadn't.
No.
So this was not a direct reaction to Colette.
No.
But you know, some people think that.
No, this was years in the work.
No, this was years in the work. It was years in the work.
But that was convenient, maybe.
I mean, I can't say that because Colette Yet is one of my favorite stores.
Me too.
And still will be. So I was like, how not convenient that I'm moving back to Paris and one of my favorite stores closing. But
Yeah.
I have now to build a store that I'm going to want to shop and my friend are going to want to shop. And it's also a new generation of shoppers.
To me, it takes such bravery to shut down something when you know you're done with it rather than sell it on.
Absolutely.
And make
yes, which
money.
Is what it's, which is what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I admire that as well.
Absolutely.
It was a thing, it was a time, and they didn't let it become something less.
Yeah, they didn't sell out and hand over the...
Yeah. I agree.
Direction of that to someone that wouldn't have understood what she was about and what it meant to her. And I think that's in this world where everybody's trying to make a quick buck, dare I say that?
I think you're admirable. Right. I think we should say it. I think a lot of people are trying to make a quick buck. And I think that Clara is actually trying to, I think you're trying to create something cultural.
Absolutely. Well, here we stand for the long run.
Yeah.
So it's definitely for the culture and for Paris and for my Parisian friend, but also not just Parisians. We're very much speaking to France and speaking to banlieue and not forgetting that we're next to RER A. And there is a youth culture that
just
actually
to explain
is
to people who don't know Paris that well. Yeah. So Paris is like has a big, the central Paris has a big ring road highway around it. And outside is Bonnieu, which is
anything that's considered outside of the ring road is not considered Paris. That's why Paris isn't as big as other big cities, because there is a road that actually contains it, meaning that anything built on the other side of the road is not considered to be the suburb.
It's almost like an old city wall of like a kingdom. Anyway,
exactly.
Anyway, what we're looking at today is Greater Paris.
Yes, and we are in the RER, which is the train that brings everyone from the suburbs into central Paris. Really, the first stop is this specific area.
Exactly. And so the Champs-Élysées is a very interesting mix of population because you're so close to Avenue Montaigne, which is Triangle d'Or, Golden Triangle, yeah. Montaigne, Saint-Honoré, Champs-Élysées, which have the prime real estate in terms of palace and hotel of luxury. But we didn't want the store to just be a luxury destination. We made it a point of making sure that Greater Paris was welcome in a sense that we have a very broad range of product. The enseigne Galeries Lafayette remains a very populaire and democratic approach to fashion, to goodness, and to culture.
Yeah, there's nothing alienating going on here.
No, absolutely. And we make it a point of that.
And I think your party, the launch party, really reflected that.
Well, thank you very much, because we worked very hard on making sure that it did reflect a new French generation, much more open, much more diverse, much more generous.
Which artists were performing?
We had the most amazing lineup. I was dying
to get.
We had Aya Nakamura, who is, to me, leading woman French artist today, and she's absolutely incredible. She has such an energy. She's so young. And then we had various mix of DJs, Louis Chen, who's a dear friend, Too Many DJs, and Peggy Gou. We really wanted the space to feel like a...
It was major. I mean, it was not your typical fashion party at all.
Because we made it a point that it wouldn't be. Yeah, we also made it a point to not open during Paris Fashion Week because we wanted that party to be for French people.
Yeah.
Not, we love our cosmopolitan crowd, but we also wanted to give back to the city of Paris.
Yeah. Well, I think you've really done
that's
that.
That's so interesting.
I want to just know about you, about little Clara, when you were growing up, okay? So you studied in Paris. A lot of people want to know what kind of studies successful people like you did and how you broke into the industry. Like, really, before you even had that first job at the first Galeries Lafayette, how did you get there? And did you know that you wanted to do this kind of stuff?
So I was born in a geek family. Okay. Something you have to know about me is that I had to go through the whole circle of grande école because my father is a mathematician and my mother is an economist.
Like me.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's how Camille and I, we bond over this.
For those who don't know about this, like the French school system is very serious and competitive and you're sort of weeded out into different like levels of academia based on how academic you are.
Based on what topics you're interested in.
Yeah.
It's quite backward, I have to say, because France tends to emphasize maths, physics, chemistry, like those are just hot topics for smart people, and then anything to do with art and literature is considered to be the class poubelle, dustbin classes, which, let's be honest, is a little bit backward of the whole country.
I know quite a lot of traumatized French people, but if you are academic, then it's great.
Unfortunately, not only was I academic, but I was also very math. I was a mathlete, as we say, and I got into business school, always having in the back of my head that I wanted to work in a creative field, and fashion has always been a point of interest, maybe because I was born and raised in Paris, but it was definitely something that I was looking from afar and not really knowing how I could access it because, let's just put it that way, it's quite a closed industry.
Yeah.
And I went through my round of internships,
da-da-da,
which is really the point of departure of my career. It's I've just did all the internships, and I didn't know where to start, so I knew I wanted to start interning in London. It was my whole thing. I wanted to go to London.
What attracted you to London?
I don't know. It was like speaking in English and just the fabulousness of London Fashion Week at the time. And so I just went there and took the Eurostar every weekend with my little CV.
Wow.
And I distributed them to whoever would take me and receive me. And it was the funniest entretien that happened at Stella McCartney. Where I actually had the position. And the woman told me afterwards, she was like, I could tell you really didn't speak that well English. You were not completely understanding what I was saying. But you seemed so eager. So eager that I got you. And I got it. And she got me in. And it's true. My English wasn't at the best at the time. And And I was so proud, and I was, and you know, I did it all. I did the archive, I did the running around, I did courier service. I was your one-stop shop.
Right, and so you would say to those naysayers who think that unpaid internships are pointless and should be done away with.
Oh my God, I did three unpaid internships before I first got my Ticket Restaurant card and a Metro card.
That's basically expenses.
That's exactly. So, but it was all about, like, at least having a foot through the door.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting.
And you have to just stay enthusiastic.
Exactly. And I was. I was so eager and so enthusiastic. And I feel like I still am today.
You are. And it's contagious. It's really nice.
And after Stella, my number two biggest internship with that Maison Christian Dior, which was extraordinary, because that's where I discovered the world of buying, because I was on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really funny, as you guys know, I'm quite obsessed with food. Mm-hmm. And at the time...
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Absolutely. That's definitely something we're going to circle on. You have to know. So when a brand welcomes the buyers, there is extraordinary buffet and catering that is for the buying team to be able to rest and have at least a bite in between buys. And I was obsessed with it. I just was like, wow, who are these people coming from outside? They don't belong to the company. They come in, they sit down, they have the most amazing lunch. And I have to wake up at 6 a.m. and watch them get breakfast? Who are they? Yeah. What do they do?
This is so interesting that it was food that was the your key.
Those were the buying team.
I mean, I understand. I once followed the Joseph buyers when I worked for Joseph to the Dries Van Noten showroom. Insane buffet. I was like, I'll stay here all day.
And it was incredible.
Wait,
and
how do I not know about this?
Oh, my God. Buying appointments are...
It's a thing. I schedule, and my dear partner brands know that, so I can say that with no shame. I schedule my buying appointments according to the food that I know I'm going to get from each one. Absolutely. You know, you get...
So any younger brand looking to get Clara's attention, I think you should up your lunch game.
Yeah.
Maybe find a new caterer, some exciting new chefs to work with.
No, it's actually a thing. I'm on the buying teams of all the stores. And Dior's catering is obviously gorgeous and out of control. Think Marie Antoinette had gone bad. Like, it's like...
Gone rogue, actually.
Actually, I have a suggestion. Rogue. There's a new fashion caterer in town called Café Pompon.
There you go.
It's one of my best friends.
Oh, cute.
She's really good. But seriously, it is astounding. But then it makes sense, because those brands would want to sell their entire lifestyle.
Absolutely.
To the buyers.
You want to sell the lifestyle. You want to have a moment. You want to nurture the relationship. And it was the first time that I actually saw how important the relationship and the sit-downs and the talks and all the conversation that were between those people, that I was like, who are you? What do they do? And I was so young. And then I figured it out. And actually, that one appointment...
Do you want to explain to our audience exactly what a buyer does? Because I feel like that is one of those...
Yeah, of course. How would you define a buyer?
And why is it so important to have a great mathematical brain to do it properly?
That is... I feel like it's great to have a mathematical background, but anyone can learn it as well. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is a very important point. So when you do buying, you work for a store, and your role is really to... go into showroom appointments to see collections from the brands that you're in charge of. So let's say you work for the Galeries Lafayette. When my first role was to buy, for example, Kenzo. And we'd go to the showroom, look at the collection, you sit down, you nurture the relationship, you try to understand what did well, what did wrong on the last season, and you look at the new collection. That's why a lot of buyers go to the shows. And then they go to the showrooms, because that's where you see the showpieces, but also like the more commercial items.
Yeah. And you see everything up close, which is like...
You see everything up close and personal. You touch it. You get the feedback. You really get that reaction. And then you're putting the units. Mm-hmm. And that's
how
when...
How do you do that, though? How do you know how deep to buy?
Oof. Look at her.
Yeah.
Retail math over here.
Yay.
That's why you have a planner. So all the buyers have a planner that they look to for a budget. So the buying team go into a brand showroom thinking, this is how much money I think I can perform with the brand, how much I can make for the season. So the planners give you a budget that you have to stay within, And it's really hard because sometimes you really love the collection and then you have to go back and be like, I overspent and like, right. And it's the whole thing and it happened to me. And really, you stick to your budget, you look at the categories, and then you go into putting all the units that you feel you can sell for one season. Mm-hmm. And then you have a target, you have what we call a sell-through, and you look at that is our tool to make sure that you're looking at a sell-through is what you sold throughout the season. So pants, we didn't sell any. T-shirts, we didn't buy enough. Dresses, we could go into shorter, longer, like with sleeve, with no sleeves. It's really looking into each categories and understanding right. how you can better approach your business. But also what I've always been excited to share was with the brands, making sure that how can we work better together? Is there anything you need from us? And any information? And the transparency is also key to the partnership.
Ah, does everyone abide by that rule, or is that specific to you?
I feel like today it's a rule that everyone has to follow.
Okay.
Long ago in the days where you're not sharing the performance with your partners.
Okay.
And you talk here about working with Kenzo, which is obviously a very well-known, respected brand, but I think what you're also very well-known for is finding new brands and nurturing yeah. those relationships. I feel like you have brought to light some of the most successful and popular brands and names of recent years. I'm thinking of Jacquemus, Simon. I'm thinking of Coperni. I'm thinking of We Are Marcia. Yeah. I'm thinking of, who else am I thinking of?
Amélie
Pichard, exactly. All these younger names. And in this day and age, I find it quite overwhelming, the amount of new brands that we see pop up left, mm-hmm. right, and center. I mean, it seems like every other day an influencer is launching a new brand and there's a new sustainable brand and everything sort of seems to be everywhere. And I wonder how you sift through all of that and pick and choose and decide to invest your time and your energy, and I'm guessing also your care and your time in these new yeah. new people.
Well, I guess I was very lucky because retail and buying was my first role and it was all I knew at the time. It was looking for newer brands, and at the time I was at, especially when I was at opening ceremony, our goal and our roles were to be dénicheurs. It was really to be almost headhunters for newer brands. And I would see 15 brands a day during market. It was exhausting. And after all this research, you actually, there's one that really hits your heart and you know it's the one. It's a gut feel. I can't really explain it.
Mm. It's a gut feel. I want to quote Tommy from Love Island. You've got a gut. That's why yeah. you've got to use it.
Yeah. But really, it's a gut feeling of finding something new, finding something fresh, finding someone that's true to a vision.
Yeah.
And it's not even about the product anymore. It's about the product, the way you package it, the way you speak about your brand, the designer themselves.
So Simon is a really great example of that.
Absolutely. I first met Simon. Simon Jacquemus was one of the first brands I've ever had to and got the chance to work with. I was an intern. And it was prior to everything, I first had intern at opening ceremony. And we were at this multi-brand showroom, and I was really excited to go see his collection because I had seen it, and I was like, this is great, this is unique.
How many seasons in was he?
He was had two seasons in. I think it was the first season that he actually commercialized.
Right, so he would have been like 20?
Yeah. We've known each other for 30 years, so yeah, that's about it. We've known each other for 10 years.
10 years. Like 30 yeah. years yeah. from 20 to 10 years. Yeah. 10 years.
That was his first collection. It was Le Sport, les années 90. And he was in a multi-brand showroom among many other brands. The great multi-brand showroom, Agence MK, that I love and still work with today. And she's also great at nurturing younger brands. So anyway, so I saw the collection. I was like, this is very special. And he didn't speak English at the time. And I was just there at OC and I was
He? Because I've interviewed him in English and he's very good now.
Absolutely.
Not a word.
Oh, today is super good. But at the time, he hadn't done any fashion studies. He was straight from South of France. He had that genuineness of someone who truly believes in what they do but still remain quite shy. Yeah. So he's grown so much from there. But really, when I saw that collection, I was like, this is so special. There's so much of it I want to wear. And he was like, oh, I'm so happy because I make it a point that my prices are to my friends.
Kind, yeah.
So
accessible.
Accessible. I made it a point that I remain, that my prices remain accessible. And every piece of fabric that I put into the collection, I really want my friends to be able to buy it.
That's very forward thinking for a 20-year-old.
That's already, I mean, that's success. That's already success. I was like, you're there as a designer, selling your collection on your own. You've achieved to build a collection that felt fresh and you're price conscious.
Yeah.
See you in the next 10 years.
Yeah. So we just, so last time the three of us were together was at the celebration in Provence of Jacquemus's 10 years. Now, how did that feel for you, having kind of grown up together and having been really like the first person to really discover him?
I wasn't the first person to discover him. There was other
I wanted to give you that credit.
No, there was other incredible retailers that discovered Simon on that season because it was such a special collection. But really, for me, it was just, you can't help but feel proud, even though you don't, you haven't done much, but you feel proud because you've been growing together. And what was so special with Simon is that we've grown from each stores that I worked with. We've grown to do special things together.
Yeah.
When he launched accessories, when he launched men's, and today when we launched a cafe under his own name. And it's just about also making sure that you grow together, and that to me, loyalty is everything in this industry. And
that's very true.
And when we, when I got the role, he was so excited for me. I was like, oh my God, this is a lot. This is a big deal. It's a big building. It's a big expectation. There's so many things that I want to do differently. And he was like, well, what, I want to do things differently for this. What do you, what would you, what are you thinking? And he was like, I'm down to do objects and maybe like furniture. He was really going into a direction of wanting to do more interiors and objects.
Yeah, because I feel like at this point, the Jacquemus brand is a lifestyle
brand. It was
brand
a lifestyle,
to a certain extent. And when we were down in that show in a lavender field with
he has
sunshine
an aesthetic.
And that was, I felt I was like, discovering more of his lifestyle.
Absolutely. And he has a great eye for interiors. I'm sure many of you have seen his interiors and his new, actually his new showroom and headquarters. Spectacular. So
it's
thought
it's a perfect mix of something that's, it's exactly what you said, it's accessible but it's, it still feels luxurious but with that air, like,
which is what the Galerie Lafayette Champs-Élysées is as well.
It feels creative.
Yeah.
It feels creative but within accessibility.
Exactly.
And not even just price point wise, just mindset wise.
Yeah.
It's not,
but also watching all the girls dancing at that party, because everybody obviously was wearing Jacquemus, lots of pieces from different years throughout all the collections that he's done. It was just really fresh.
We were dancing in a field. And it was unbelievably
Where I think where lots of fashion brands are quite complicated and complex, and you need to sort of intellectualize fashion to understand it and want to wear it, and you know, collections evolve. Here it was just very simple, rich colors, simple cuts, really, really sexy dresses. I mean, and watching everybody look like that, it, you want to be part of it.
Completely. So, Clara, I think a lot of us listening right now would pretty much say you have one of the coolest jobs in the world. But bring us down to earth here. What are the downsides?
It's a lot of work. I mean, it's the saying, find a job that doesn't feel like a job. And I'm lucky enough and so humbled to have this amazing responsibility, but it's an everyday hard work.
Lots of travel too.
Travels, absolutely.
Fashion calendar is absolutely mental.
Mental.
It's always fashion week somewhere, as we say. But I would say I'm having a very exciting time. I have an incredible team who's counting some of the strongest and most talented people I know, that I was lucky enough to have the freedom to build from ground zero, because for the new store, we've had the chance to build our own team. So I manage, now I do manage buying. I have the buyers from my team that are, we work together to build the selection of the exciting brands and, that you see today. But I also manage the communication and content.
And you do a lot of events too.
Absolutely. It's just, again, like, retail is not dead. Boring retail is. It's more about now making sure you celebrate the partners that choose to be with you and that you highlight them. And it can be through social, but also through events. Our strength is to be in real life. We are a brick and mortar store. Mm. When so many brands choose today to live on the digital platforms, brands that don't even have, it's not even that they don't have a point of sale, it's that they don't need distribution.
Yeah.
Mm. We've reached a point that brands, they don't need a third-party department store to carry them because they have their own community, they have their own channels, they have e-commerce. We're completely past the point. So now what we try to do is, if you chose to be with us as a brick and mortar, we can bring the product in real life. Mm. And we had an extraordinary launch with the Réalisation Par, which we called Paris for Real.
I'm wearing but the for real, skirt for real. From that launch.
It was for real though. We were able to like get the product to be touched and try it on. And that's really what drives me today, is to make sure that all the brands that are living through the clouds are able to find home here in Paris. And if they...
Well, and I actually think that that's becoming true luxury again, you know, after you've ordered your Deliveroo dinner and, you know, texted with people online and stalked Instagram all day. Maybe that's what you did on a Saturday, to go in and actually touch the handbag that you're thinking about and experience the Jacquemus world. And again, then to go and actually have people like you in the store wearing the pieces, creating an actual physical relationship. It's like in the grocery store, even. There isn't even a person who rings through your groceries anymore. Yeah. You have to figure out how to use a machine. Like, I don't want to live in a world where I never look at a person in the face.
Well, that's the opposite of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And that's why we were very adamant about having our own staff, because this space, this new store, is meant to be about relationships.
Yeah.
So it's our staff, 100%, and they are able to speak to you about any brands that we carry. And they're so cool. Oh my God, our staff, they're so cool.
Yeah.
They're like passionate and fashion and stylish. I have to dress up for them in the morning. I don't dress up for myself, I dress up for them.
You look very, very stylish. Could we do a little dress for radio here quickly?
Yes, we should.
Clara, what are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing Simone Rochelle, which is one of my favorite brands.
A white puffy.
White puffy.
Super sleeves.
It looks like you're wearing a cloud.
Well, yes, thank you. That's how I feel definitely with this heat. And I'm wearing Marie Gu Chili, who's also a very emerging designer.
Very cool.
Very cool sandals. Some Relikia pearl. You can hear the pearls.
We made her take them off, but they're really, really cool.
And a Carrie-style Clara necklace.
Exactly, that I got from my last week in New York.
Everyone's favorite fashionista.
Absolutely.
And it's very cool.
It was my going away to New York gift to myself that I got in Chinatown, who I never take off.
Love it.
Yeah, but...
And a scrunchie, and I'm also wearing a scrunchie. And
of course, scrunchies are back.
Scrunchies,
you heard it
live
here first. And, of course, hair clips. I have 4 hair clips right now in my hair.
From Simone Rocha.
Yeah.
And does Les Galeries Lafayette, Champs-Élysées, have a ecological conscious side to it?
We do.
Because I heard that you did.
We do.
I feel like we should talk about that a little bit as well.
Absolutely. Well, we do, as the group has a big involvement in sustainability. I mean, first of all, it's something that we don't communicate on because I feel it's obnoxious.
I agree.
But now I feel like it's important to still state the obvious, like, 100% of our packaging is recycled. 100% of any plastic that you'll find in the store is CPLA, which is corn plastic. And there are things that like people don't even notice, and that we don't be obnoxious about it and talk about it, but it was still a lot of work.
It's okay, we asked, you can tell us.
To put that in
place.
The store is what we call BREACH Excellent. So it's a norm from architecture in terms of usage of electricity, and that's like something that architectural department give to a building, and it was a very big involvement from the group to make sure that the building was reaching the best norms possible. And then we really try to focus on the designers that are today emerging, and without again being obnoxious about it, but I have a responsible aspect to it. And Galeries Lafayette started a year and a half ago, the group, to celebrate what we call the Go for Good movement.
Yes, I was involved in their campaign, actually.
Which was
really
spectacular.
Good.
It was over 400 brands that have been part of it. It was just about highlighting how responsibility should be part of your brand message and should be considered as cool. So for us, it's never about picking up a brand because they're responsible. This doesn't mean anything. It should just be about promoting the one that are, that are bringing excitement to the fact that they're responsible. So on top of my head, Marine Serre is one that she absolutely does not communicate about it, and she shouldn't, but upcycling is a big part of her DNA, and I'm actually really into upcycling. We've done so many upcycling projects because I think it's super creative.
Can you explain upcycling to people who don't know it?
So it's really about repurposing fabrics or materials that have been, that have had past lives. So, for example, we work with an artist from LA whose name is Dr. Romanelli, who's used cutout pieces of Supreme t-shirts, and it's all about the hype. So it was Supreme and Guess and Nike, and he recreates that in pieces of furniture. And it's cool because it gives a new life to the garments, but also it's super creative. So Marine Serre has almost like a couture line out of it, and she always makes the most incredible dresses out of upcycling. And really, for us, we do it in a very humble way because we are a store, because we promote new collection every season. But at the same time, we're very careful about the partners that we work with, about the sourcing. And also, I feel like almost promoting designers and creativity is also promoting a piece of garment that you're going to want to keep longer.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully. Yes. So I can't really pronounce myself on fast fashion because I've always worked on durable garments, because I've had pieces from Jacquemus. I have a skirt from his first collection that I still have and still wear today that I love.
Yeah.
And that, in a way, is a little bit responsible.
I liked that. Actually, in the South, a lot of those old pieces came out. People were wearing their favorite pieces.
Absolutely. And that's what we did in the 10-year anniversary. We also, we reissued some of the best, but we also reused some of the archive pieces that I feel like are so exciting yet still today. And people are still buying from his past collection because it also shows that promoting designers and creativity is also promoting a longer relationship to your clothing.
Sure. Yeah, true. There's a, just, I wanted to highlight, there's a second conscious aspect to this store, which is that the bathrooms are unisex.
Oh, that's definitely a...
Or is that a
passion
a
project of mine? No. It was the first thing. Actually, everyone was like, so when you took over the role, what was your first project?
Unisex bathroom.
It was like the bathroom. The bathroom were my first projects. Because you're opening a store in 2019. Mm-hmm. You have to deliver a strong societal. You have to deliver a strong societal message of what kind of space you want it to be. And I wanted the space to be extremely inclusive and celebrating diversity. And I was like, where are the bathrooms? They're like, oh, it's in the food court, it's gonna be in the basement. I was like, can I see the plan? They were like, really, you have nothing else to do? I was like, there are men's and women's. They were like, yeah. And I was like, we need to make them gender neutral. Absolutely, absolutely. But the they were already in construction, so I had the architecture department redo the floor plan, redo the water work.
Wow.
So that we could have one entrance and repurpose the location to be gender neutral. And it was so important in terms of messaging. And it shouldn't be, because it should be, again, about being responsible, about being
diverse.
But it's
quite groundbreaking, actually.
But for Paris,
for France, I don't know. And I was going to ask you afterwards what you thought the biggest difference between French and American fashion is.
Yeah.
But certainly,
yeah,
I think maybe America is moving faster than us.
For America, yeah, absolutely. Considering the political climate,
of course, it's a weird.
Well, it just depends where in America
exactly
you are.
New York
is like a whole different country.
Absolutely, but actually, in New York, I was fascinated when the Whitney Museum had the first gender-neutral bathroom. And
oh, do they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And that was my inspiration.
Do you know if any other department stores have that, or are you the first?
In France, we're the first.
I also just want to point out that not only are these bathrooms gender-neutral, but they're incredibly high-tech, and you sort of have sprays and
they're
air
Japanese. So there was a whole thing. So this is actually a very funny anecdote, is that they're also Japanese toilets. So, you know, Japanese toilets have a little water spraying. So people got confused between, is it gender neutral to have a water spray you? And I was like, no, there's two messages here. One is the fact that there is no women's and men's separation, that it is gender neutral. And second fact is, their Japanese bathroom. So also, there's a little water spraying at the end. But do not confuse.
I've never been to Japan. I can't wait to experience that. Maybe I'll go down to the bathroom after this interview so I can
have a little spray.
Yeah.
Now, I think we may be getting towards the firing round.
We are. Before we do that, I do want to ask, Clara, what do you say to those who criticize our industry and call it frivolous?
Yeah.
Who accuse the clothes of being absurdly overpriced and all of us a bunch of self-obsessed eccentrics?
Ninnies. Give us your in defense of fashion.
I've asked myself that question so many times. So many times would I look at my friends that have the most meaningful jobs in the world, the lawyers and the doctors of this world, and asking myself, why? Why do I care so much? I care because other people care, and other people are very happy about buying that special piece that makes you feel so special, that someone extremely creative has put so much thought into making you feel beautiful. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine. I was really going in deep about asking myself, why was I doing this? And she's a doctor. She's a shrink. She's actually a psychiatrist that works in a highly risked area of the hospital, which means she gets attacked by patients. And I was telling her, she was telling me a day of hers where she was bitten by a patient and she was going through the worst day. And then she told me, but you know, at the end of the day, so I got bitten, but I know how to react. And then I looked at that ring that I bought from you that I love so much. And I just love that ring so much. It made me happy just looking at it.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I was just like, that's it. That's why I do this. And that's why we keep on making beautiful thing out in the world, is to make other people that do greater good feel beautiful. Even if it's for 10 minutes after being bitten, I was like, that's the meaning of all this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what designers want to promote, is just more beauty into the world and making people feel better.
Amen.
For any wallet. And I make it a point that we have rings under 50 euro.
Wow.
So it's for any wallet.
Amen.
Firing round.
Okay, but we're going to go do that out there.
Oh, we're going to go and do the firing round in the Jacquemus box.
Yeah, in the Jacquemus box.
All right.
We're
okay,
give
well,
you a little,
we'll see you back in 5 minutes.
See you in a second. Right, we're going to give you a visual.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Clara Cornet, it's time for the firing round. Right here at home in the Jacquemus stand, wall, space.
Yes.
Now, tell us, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for Avo on Toast, where we talk about food, and no better person than you. Because
do I have phone a friend or ask the audience?
You can ask the audience if you want. There's some shoppers around who look quite knowledgeable, but I think you are too.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so let's start with this. What are the three restaurants that everyone should try in Paris right now?
Oh my God, three? Only three. Okay, number one, Tontine, only because he's one of my best friends, and it's closing in December.
And it's a pop-up, and it's delicious.
And there's multi-chefs situation happening, and it's good every week and changing every week. Then we have Cheval d'Or, because it's newish, and it's by Taku, the owner of Dersu, and it's delicious again. And we have Racine, also because it's his first Michelin star happened this year. So go and get it, because there might be a line out soon enough. Okay.
And
take us stateside, what would be your top three in New York?
Ooh, in New York. Well, in New York, it's quite easy because I always go to the same spot. So, numero un, Mission Chinese food. Numero deux, Lucien. Numero trois, Altro Paradiso.
Ooh, My three favorite as well.
Flats or heels?
Flats for me, always.
One item of clothing you will never get rid of?
A custom, one-of-a-kind, Jacquemus, neon orange coat with mesh white sleeves, which I could never, like, stop wearing when he first got it from me because he said, I made it thinking of you. And lately he's been asking me, do you still have that horrible coat I made for you? I was like, of course I do.
Horrible?
I was like, of course I do. I love it. Don't wear it still, but I still have it in my archive.
Good. Okay, Clara, left bank or right bank?
Ugh, it's a tough question. Born in left, living in the right. So I'm going to say right bank.
What is your life mantra?
Work hard, play harder.
Ooh. Ooh la la. Gold or silver?
Gold.
Oh, she's quick. She's quick.
New York or LA?
Oh, New York, all the way. East Side, baby.
One word to describe your taste.
Surprising?
Ooh. Your favorite place to relax in the summer?
I mean, nothing really original here. I'm going to say by the water.
Perfect.
Perfect.
What's the ultimate fashion faux pas? Is it possible?
Thinking there's one.
Aha.
Bravo.
Merci, Clara.
Merci.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Well, folks, there you have it. How to launch a world-class concept store by the age of 30, courtesy of Mademoiselle Clara Cornet, or as I have now renamed her, Notre-Dame des Champs-Élysées.
You can see video evidence of our lightning round questions on the Galerie Lafayette Champs-Élysées Instagram account and get a visual of Clara's adorable Simone Rocha look. You don't want to miss it.
Bisous from Paris, then, lovely listeners. And remember, if you love us, show us the love by rating and reviewing us on iTunes.
Au revoir!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.